If you have a Bible, grab it. Turn with us to Genesis chapter 45. If you're joining us online or in Overflow, find Genesis 45. If you want to use an electronic device, great. If you don't own a Bible, there should be one in the pew there in front of you. Consider that a gift to you today, or just a tool if you've got one at back home. Genesis chapter 45. Grudge. Y'all know what a grudge is? A grudge is wanting to hurt someone back and not letting go of it. Grudge, bitterness. We do a lot of things, unfortunately, out of grudges. There are a lot of families. On Mother's Day, as we talk about Mother's Day, there are a lot of families that are suffering right now because someone, or maybe more than one, is not letting go of a grudge. Have you heard of spite houses? This is a spite house. They're all over the place, believe it or not. It's actually a thing, grudge houses or spite houses. A grudge house or a spite house is a house that's built to try to hurt another person. The story behind this one, this is the Skinny House in Boston. It's actually become kind of a spot to go and see. Skinny House in Boston, here's the history. It was a family grudge. There was a dad who died, and he willed his two sons some land in North Boston. Well, one of his sons was off at war. The other son decides, I'm going to build a house on the land, but I'm going to take up more than my fair share. So he did. The other son shows up, and he said, I'm going to build a house too, and I'm going to show you. And he built this house. The thickest part of this house is 4 stories tall. The thickest part of this house is 10 foot wide. The thinnest part of the house is 6 foot wide. Now, I don't know if you've built walls in your family that look exactly like this, but many families have walls that are built because someone has hurt them and they're not going to forgive and they're holding a grudge. Grudge houses are lonely houses. Y'all know that? They're lonely houses. They have space for one person, themselves. The one focus in life is to hurt someone back. But you know who they hurt really most? They hurt themselves. I mean, you think about it, even this house right here, the only door into the house is in this little alley. It's such a thin alley, you can't even open the door all the way. And this guy chose to live there the rest of his life to make a point to hurt his brother. He wanted to close off the windows so this brother would not have any view, and he did. But you know what? He didn't have any windows either. He's got one room on each floor, but he's going to make his point. Grudge. Grudge. Maybe you've heard it said this way, that holding on to a grudge is like taking a poison pill every morning, hoping someone else will die. Who's it hurting most? You. It does hurt the heart of God. In fact, God cares deeply about this. Could it be that God wants to help us on this Mother's Day with the spite that might be in our houses? In our homes. Genesis chapter 45, I'll catch you up. There's this guy named Joseph who grew up in a spite house. His grandmother had chosen a favorite child, and that just happened to be his dad, Jacob, who chose favorite wives, and he married sisters, which God never planned for multiple people to get married, but definitely not sisters, and definitely not picking a sister, right? It's like throwing a lit match into a fireworks stand. That's the house he grew up in, right? And Joseph, Jacob, his dad, picked him to be the favorite son because he was the firstborn of his favorite wife, Rachel. when Rachel had her only other son, Ben, she died in childbirth. So Joseph lost his mom. Sometimes Mother's Day is painful for people because you've lost your mom. Joseph would have known how you felt. But he tells his brothers that, hey, I dreamed that you're going to bow down to me. Jacob, because he wants to show off, I guess, that he's his favorite child, he gives him this coat of many colors, and his brothers hate him, and they do something terrible. In fact, I don't know what you're harboring a grudge over, but can you imagine this, that your brothers conspire together to sell you into slavery, and they follow through on it. They sell him into slavery. If there's anyone who would really be given a pass for holding a grudge, it would be Joseph, right? He's in slavery in Egypt from the age of 17 until, our story today is going to be 39, but he's in slavery for a good amount of time. He ends up in prison for a while. He interprets Pharaoh's dream, who's the guy in charge of Egypt. Pharaoh says, wow, you know my dream. He says, you're going to have 7 bad years. There's going to be 7 good years. Joseph says to Pharaoh, you should figure out, I said it backwards, 7 good years, and there's going to be 7 bad years. Figure out, get a guy in charge that can put food together during the 7 good years, so when the 7 bad years come, your people will have food. Joseph says, man, you're a smart guy. Why don't you be in charge? So Joseph moves from being in slavery to being in the palace in Egypt. The bad years come. This is 2 years into the bad years. His brothers need food, so they show up, and they don't recognize him. Why? I mean, Joseph, right? He's now speaking Egyptian. He's wearing the Egyptian headdress thing, right? With his black wig. He's wearing black eye makeup. He's clean shaven. He looks completely different. But Joseph recognizes the guy showing up from East Texas. By the way, I picked on East Texas last week. For the record, I'm from East Texas, so I was picking on me. They show up and they're still talking like this. They still got the big beard on. And he's like, there's my brothers. And so he tests his brothers to find out if their heart has changed. And right before our story that we're going to read today, he really sees that their heart has changed. He set it up so that they could leave their next favorite brother, Ben, in slavery. That's what he's asked them to do. Hey, just leave Ben in slavery and I'll let you free. And before this moment, the one who put plan in the brother's heart to sell him into slavery, Judah, stands up and says, no, take me as a slave instead. Send my brother back. That's what just happened. So Joseph's seen that their heart has changed, but he could still harbor a grudge. He could live in a spite house the rest of his life. Let's see what happens. Verse 1, chapter 45. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood before him. He cried, make everyone go out from me. So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. This guy is not just crying. It's like he's soul crying. And if you're harboring a grudge and you get to the point of really forgiving, sometimes maybe you've experienced this even in your own life where there's this crying that's just, whoa, something in me is being released right now. And Joseph is soul crying. I mean, his black makeup in his eyes is starting to streak. And he's going to reveal himself to his brothers. Joseph said to his brothers, now in Hebrew, he had been speaking in Egyptian, Ani Yosef. I'm Joseph. Is my father still alive? On Mother's Day, by the way, remember his mom had died. If his mom was still alive, he'd be asking for her too. Joseph is ready for a family reunion. I'm praying that that could happen in the homes of those that are part of our services today. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed. This word dismayed, it shows up primarily in the Old Testament in war. It's terror. They're terrified. Why? Because they wronged their brother in an incredible way. They realize that. They've hurt their brother in an incredible way. Now there's their brother. He's in charge. He, if he's living in a grudge house, is going to release his wrath on them. And they're terrified. But Joseph, Joseph's going to show us today that he's not in the grudge house. If you're taking notes, here's the point. I want to invite you with Joseph to move from the grudge house to the grace house, and I want you to see that Joseph has done that. And it is life-changing. I want you to see what Joseph gets to experience this morning, and I want you to experience it. I want you to be freed if you're harboring a grudge. How do we know that he is moving from the grudge house to the grace house? Well, I'll show you how we know. Let's just keep going. So Joseph said to his brothers, what's the words? Come near to me, please. Come near to me, please. He's not holding up a wall. Now, you can go back if you want. Maybe you're holding up a wall because someone continues to hurt you, and they're going to keep continuing to hurt you if there's not protection. I get that. But Joseph has seen that there's some change in his brother's life, and now he's going to tear down that wall. He's going to tear it down, and he's going to say, come near to me. He's going to be the wall destroyer in his family. How do we know? He's moving from the grudge house to the grace house. Come near to me, please. And they came near, and he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Has Joseph forgot what they did to him? Did he forget? No, he didn't forget. Sometimes we confuse forgiveness with forgetting. Some people think, well, you're supposed to forget what the other person has done wrong. That's impossible. We're humans, right? Forgiveness does not require forgetting. Keep going. How do we know he's moving to the grace house? He says, and do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. He's going to start caring about what's going on in his brother's life, and he's not going to want bad for them. He's going to want good for them. As we keep reading, he's going to not just want good for them. He's going to do not bad to them. He's going to do good to them. He's going to undeserved favor, which is what grace means, he's going to give to his brothers. How do we know? Well, it's all over the passage. But how did he do it? I do think there are many people here that really do want to forgive, but really can't get there. You want to move from grudge to grace, but you can't get there. How did he do it? I want you to see what's repeated now over and over and over again, because I think there's a window in to Joseph's heart and what was going on in his life that allowed him to, again, move from the grudge house to the grace house. How did he do it? Watch. Keep reading with me. He says, for God sent me before you to preserve your life. Wait, didn't you just say that your brother sold you into slavery and that's why you're there? Yes, his brother sold him into slavery. But God, he's going to say, was working through that in his life. Keep going. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God, if you have the NIV, what does it say, first word in your NIV? But God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. He's going to say that, yes, you did bad, but God is out to do good. And God is going to use what you did against me wrong for good. He's going to keep going. He keeps doing this. So it was not you who sent me here. What's the words? But God, he has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all of his house. Those words, father and Lord, when they're put together at this point in time, was basically saying he's like become the spiritual advisor to Pharaoh. He's the spiritual advisor to Pharaoh now. All of his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not tarry. Again, his focus is on what God has been doing, not what they did, but what God has been doing. Y'all see it? Keep going. And you shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me. He's tearing down the walls. You and your children and your children's children and your flocks and your herds and all that you have. And there I will provide for you. You see the grace? Undeserved. He's going to start doing, I mean, he's if you keep reading the story, not only is he going to send his brothers back to get dad, but he's going to give his brothers gifts to take with him to get. His brothers are going to show back up in East Texas with a new truck, with new Stetson hats, and new Lucchese's. That's what they're, what? They sold their brother into slavery. They find out it's their brother, and their brother gives them gifts. What's going on? He's moving from the grudge house to the grace house. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your households and all that you have do not come into poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all of my honor. Again, he's longing again for the patriarch. Mom's died, by the way. Mothers, you need to know, if you have children that are separate from you, you need to know on Mother's Day there is this longing. Maybe there is some wall that's been built, but you see the longing that's in a child's heart to be reunited with the head of the homes. Like, okay, yes, his mom's died. Tell my father, I think if mom was alive and mom, of all of my honor in Egypt and all that you have seen, hurry and bring my father and mom, if she was alive, down here. Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and he wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. That's his full brother. And he kissed all of his brothers and he wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him. You see this family reunion? It's beautiful. And on this Mother's Day, I'm praying that God would allow you, the past chapters of your family's life may be tragedy because of grudges that have not been gone. But maybe like Joseph, you can move from the grudge house to the grace house. Again, how did he do it? How did he do it? Well, notice again, he didn't ignore the fact that his brothers had done something wrong. But instead of attacking his brothers, instead of just looking on the horizontal plane with his brothers, you know what he did? He focused his attention on God and what God was doing. Joseph chose to live his life right here. We've spent the last few weeks talking about how over and over and over in his pain, God was with him. He was with him. He was with him. He was with him. And Joseph chose in his life to focus on what God was, not what was done to him by someone else, but what God was doing in and through him for his glory. Y'all see it? In your life, how do you see and allow, what if someone has done something terribly wrong to you, how do you move from the grudge house to the grace house? Could it be that you need to spend more, like Joseph, time focusing on what God is doing and less on what was done to you? Now, that's extremely easy to say and very difficult to do. I recognize that. But I want us to dig in it for a little bit to try to figure out how Joseph did it. Now, if you continue forward in Joseph's story, his dad eventually dies. His brothers think, well, I guess now the grudge is going to come out. He's going to attack us. But in chapter 50, he does the same thing. He says, you meant evil against me. I didn't forget it. What does he focus on? But God. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Y'all read these words with me real quick. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. The repeated word here, the word meant, comes from the Hebrew word for weave. You intentionally were weaving together bad things to hurt me, but God. I'm going to choose not to focus on that, but God. But God is more powerful than you. But God, the sovereignty of God, God was weaving it together for good. God was weaving it together for good. You might think, well, it's easy for Joseph to do that. He's a prince. How did Joseph do that? In your life, I want to step into your pain. In your life, you've talked to us the last few weeks. Some of you have written on cloths. Some of you have given words to write on cloths online, dropped in the chat lines. We've been taking your words and we've been giving them to a ministry that literally does this, that weaves things together in our church. It's the Yarns of Hope ministry. And they've taken your pain and they've done something with it. Watch this video real quick. Thank you.
Divorce.
Abuse.
Jealousy.
A difficult marriage. The hope and belief that God will make it better.
My son's addiction.
God, please help.
Pride.
Lust.
That our daughter would turn back to God.
Healing for sister who has cancer.
God, I need help knowing direction in my life.
As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. You have a sovereign God that you can approach in your pain.
Our adversary is going to try to grab hold.
Bad things happen, but you know what? If you believe in Jesus and you have a relationship with Jesus, when those bad things happen, the Lord is with you.
The reality of the circumstances do not change. The reality of God's presence and love, nothing changes that, ever. So even when we are at the bottom and just feel like we're in the pit, we can still love and care for others.
When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. All my life you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. Okay, this is your pain. One of our ladies that helped lead the project with Yarns of Hope told me that 75%-ish of what's written here is not just pain, but it's family pain. What do we learn from Joseph about moving from the grudge house to the grace house? Here's what I think we learn. I think we learn that we can live our lives focused on this. We can live our lives focused on grandson's brain tumor, sexual temptation, abuse, adultery, pride, attitude, or we can live our lives focused on the fact that we have a God who can choose, even in the midst of that pain, to weave this mess together for his glory and our good. Now, you might be thinking, well, it's easy for Joseph to do that. He's now prince. Now, can I say that was my first response? Hey, there's no way I can preach this passage to people because Joseph is now prince of Egypt. And in their pain, they're not seeing that. In my pain, I'm not seeing that. But then I realized, you know, Joseph was able to wide-angle lens, see his life a little bit. But he didn't have near the angle that you and I do now. Even when Moses recorded this for the people of Israel, you know where they were? They were walking around in the desert because God had led them to Egypt through the story of Joseph. And they're thinking, wait a minute, God, my slavery? How did you work together in that? You know that you and I have the beautiful picture now of being able to see that all of this mess, all of sin, and all have fallen short of the glory of God, and that God, through Joseph's brother, Judah, who sold him into slavery, that God was going to send someone who would die on the cross, suffer for the sin that you and I have experienced, that we've done ourselves and has been done to us. He'd take it on himself and he'd die in our place and he'd rise again and offer eternal life to you and me. And we have that lens. Joseph didn't have that. How do we move from the grudge house to the grace house? I really do think on some level, as I was reading through Joseph this week, he's looking at something different. Over and over, God and God, but God, but God, God moved, God did, wait, something bad? No, what he's choosing to do is not live his life focused here. He's choosing to live his life focused there. Could that happen in your life and mine? We've showed you this chart throughout this series. And we spent the first 4 weeks talking about the evil and the mess because most of the story is talking about the evil and the mess in Joseph's life. But what I want to invite you to do today is to move from the grudge house to the grace house by getting your eyes off of that. Well, that's not going to work anymore. And onto this. Onto this. To move with me. I'm praying that God would do this, praying it to happen on Mother's Day in the homes, the families in our church and community. Those of you who are watching online, those of you who are in overflow right now, that God would allow you to move your focus onto the character of God and the care of God. You know, you don't have to get someone back anymore. We read in our Bible reading even this morning, we read, the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, said, be assured, an evil person will not go unpunished. You can know that. You don't have to punish them. In fact, if you try to punish them, you're gonna hurt yourself more than them. You can trust God to do that, and you can trust that in the pit, he might not in your life show you that you're gonna live like a king, but he has in this book showed you that eternally we get to. You know what happens when we focus on what God did? What the Josephs was able. Brothers, we're able to find in Joseph's court, we get to find in Jesus Christ. Full forgiveness. And when we experience forgiveness, forgiven people forgive people. That's what happens. So I want to go back to this, move from the grudge house to the grace house, and I'm going to go back to talking about the grudge houses for just a second and invite and challenge you to do this. What would happen if, instead of just focusing on the mess that's inside, we move to focus on the beauty that God can bring and will bring through the outside? I'm going to show you another grudge house. Spite House is just down the road. This is a Spite House in Massachusetts. It's like 20 miles down the road, and y'all see, again, it's a family conflict. Two people built on the same property. These walls against, y'all see it? But something happened. Something happened to this family. They decided they were going to tear down those walls. And that house now is worth millions of dollars. They've torn down the walls between these walls that separated, they created doors that someone decided, I'm no longer going to harbor this grudge. I'm going to move from the grudge house to the grace house. And they opened up the space. Now it's this beautiful place where there used to be a wall. God wants that for you. God wants that for you. A man on the sermon feedback team this week, when we were talking through this, he said that he had gone at 1.6 months without taking communion at church. Why? Because he knew he was not forgiving someone he knew he was supposed to forgive. He said before communion, 6 months in, God said to him, now's the time. I can't take communion. I haven't forgiven. And he says, well, I've forgiven you. And when he got his eyes up, like Joseph did, onto God and what God had done for him, he said he was able, when he his eyes up on God, his eyes on him, he was able to focus not on what had been done to him, but what God had been doing in and through him. He was able to forgive. And he said, freedom. He said, freedom. Freedom in his life. He wants that for you. He wants that for you. Pray with me. God, I pray for those that are in our church today that are living in spite houses. And on this Mother's Day, I know that that there's moms in the room that are longing for forgiveness to be extended in their family. God, I pray that you'd break down walls. Your word says how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. May we, as your people, those that know the grace of Jesus, focus on the grace of Jesus, and with our eyes up, God, with our eyes up on you, could you change our hearts? Could you move us from grudge houses to grace houses? We're going to sing right now. We're singing the song. It's a blessing song that was given to the people of Israel as they left Egypt. But if you sing this song, there's a generational impact, and I think there was a generational impact. Like Joseph felt the grudge from his family, his parents, their parents. When he offered grace, extended grace, it looks like in the story, God unbelievably blessed the people of Israel because they multiplied to such a level that Egypt becomes intimidated by them. And they put them in slavery again. But that's 400 years later. I believe God wants to do something beautiful through you, and pray this blessing over you as we sing for you and your generations.